Okay, welcome to the church that gathers at Bethel Baptist. My name is Josh, one of your pastors here. So for everyone who is new, for all of our guests in the audience, for everyone watching online, we want to say thank you. We gather for this reason. We gather because of the gospel. We say it often at Bethel. The gospel is simple enough that a rocket scientist can understand, and it's difficult enough a child could understand. It is simply the gospel is Jesus in our place. So Bethel Covenant members, can you help me welcome all the brave men on the front row and all the guests here watching online and in person? So. Again, let me remind you, the world says, you know, the young people, what's wrong with our world? Look at the front row. I would say our young men are what's right with our world. So praise be to God for him working in your lives. So we are continuing a summer series called The Mind of a Disciple, where we are looking at each of the disciples one per week. So again, pop quiz time, if you've been here more than a week or two, can you name all 12 disciples? We will go in order of scripture, which groups them in fours. So our first four are Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and brother John. A little more difficult. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew. Okay, most difficult. James, or Simon, right? Did I miss one? Yeah, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas. Who Judas is always last in the list until he's not, until he's left off and replaced by Mattathias in Scripture. Today we are going to look at a man named Thaddeus. But before we do, if you have your scriptures, you can join me in the book of John, the Gospel of John, in the New Testament, chapter 14. And as you turn there, I want to tell you the story of an unlikely man named Hubert Wolfstern. If you're German, it's Wolfstern. You probably have never heard of him. And the world would have not heard of him but for his name. The Guinness Book of World Records verified that Mr. Hubert actually has 26 given names. One name for every letter of the alphabet. And you might think, well, what is his name? I am glad you asked. His name is Adolf Blaine Charles David Earl Frederick Gerald Hubert Irvin John Kenneth Lloyd, Martin Nero Oliver Paul Quincy Randolph Sherman Thomas Uncas Victor William Xerxes Yancey Zeus. Now you're hoping, beyond hope, that his last name is Smith or Jones. But his last name is better than his firsts. His last name is Wolfstern. And here's the rest. That is his last name. So when you go home for fun, pull up the Wikipedia article and ask Siri to pronounce his last name. And you will find great joy. Hubert is a man of many names. And you might be thinking, what in the world does this have to do with one of the 12 disciples? Well, Thaddeus is the disciple with the most names. Not 26, but Thaddeus' name by Jerome, the man who translated the entire scripture into Latin, Jerome actually called him Trionius, which means the man with three names. You see, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, calls Thaddeus by his Hebrew name, Lebbaeus. Lev in Hebrew is heart. So his name is Lebbaeus in the Gospel of Matthew. Luke refers to him as Judas. The short name is Jude. Now you might understand why Thaddeus doesn't go by Judas, because the betrayer's name was also Judas. He's the son of James, and the Gospel of Mark mentions that his name is Thaddeus. Now Thaddeus is a diminutive name of Theodore, the English. So if you're wondering, yes, Jesus had a disciple named Simon and Theodore. We're still working on Alvin somewhere in there. Some of you just got that. I'm proud of you. And Thaddeus is an Aramaic word that means close to the heart. Lev in Hebrew, Lebeus, his name means of the heart. And I believe Thaddeus is the disciple that was close to the heart of Jesus Christ, as we will see in the Gospel of John. And I believe Thaddeus is a reminder to all who would claim the name of Christ. Our deep desire, our one goal in life should be to be near the heart of the Messiah. If you can do nothing else, may it be said of us. And may we be reminded that we are men and women who are near the heart of Jesus. Today's message is simply Thaddeus, a disciple who is close to the heart of Christ. Let us pray and then we will look at the word together. Father, we thank you that you called in your sovereignty men like Thaddeus, who have many names. You called men like Matthew, tax collectors, and Simon and Andrew, James and John, fishermen. Lord, you call the educated to know you, and you call the uneducated. You call the sinners, the tax collectors, and everyone in between. And Lord, today we know that because we have opened your word, that you are calling us and drawing us. Father, help us be men and women who are near your heart. Father, may we, as Pastor James has already prayed, may we wait on you and find that we will walk and never grow weary. We will run and never grow faint. Lord, may we be near the heart of Jesus today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. So who is Thaddeus? Well, Acts chapter 1, verse 13 says this about Judas, about Thaddeus. When they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. So we know that this Judas, who is also Thaddeus, who is also Labius, who's also Jude, is the son of James, which begs the question, so who is James? And the early church and early historians would argue this point. They would say, the most common James that we know is the James of the early church, the James who was leading in Jerusalem. That is James, the brother of Jesus Christ. But if Jesus died around 30 to 33 years of age, and James, his brother, was younger than Jesus, and Thaddeus was James' son, that would make Thaddeus at most a young teenager. So I don't think that it is right that this Thaddeus would be the son of James, the brother of Jesus. Others have equated Thaddeus with Jude because his name is Judas, and that is now shortened to Jude. And you might know the name Jude because there is a small book in the New Testament by the same name. Jude was the half-brother, as James, to Jesus Christ. And many have said, well, Thaddeus, who is also Judas, who is also Jude, is the Jude of the New Testament book. But again, James is the son of James, not his brother. Rather, I think and believe that Thaddeus is the son of a James that you do know. There's a James in the Bible, in the disciples' list, that is James, the son of Zebedee. And he's also called James the Greater. He could be James the Elder. So this James, if he was older, could have a son named Thaddeus. I believe Thaddeus is the son of James Zebedee, which would make Thaddeus the grandson of Zebedee, which then would make the gospel writer of John what to Thaddeus? It would be his uncle. So as you read the Gospel of John, there is a lot of interconnectedness here to Thaddeus. This would also make Thaddeus most likely the youngest disciple among the 12. The youngest disciple among the 12. Now, you might be asking, well, what biblical information do we have about where he is and when he came to follow Jesus Christ? That's it. We have no passage in Scripture that tells you when and where Thaddeus followed Jesus Christ. We don't know that he was in a tax booth. We don't know that he was in a fishing boat. But one tradition narrates that Thaddeus was among those who received their call to follow Jesus along the shores of Galilee, Tiberias. And this would make sense because if his father was James, son of Zebedee, and his uncle was John, son of Zebedee, and James and John left their father Zebedee to follow Jesus, it would make sense, would it not, that Thaddeus was in the boat or near the boat or in the house and followed Jesus near the same time. And like Bartholomew, James the Lesser, and Simon the Zealot, the pages of Scripture have little to say else about this Thaddeus. However, we do find one verse in all of Scripture that bears his name, and that's John 14, verse 22. Written, in my opinion, by his uncle, John. And John is very careful to tell us who speaks. He calls him Judas. But parenthesis, not the Iscariot. And he's mentioned as only asking Jesus and speaking one time in Scripture, and he's asking Jesus a question. And many scholars say that this is the last question that anyone asked Jesus in the Bible before the Garden of Gethsemane. Before Jesus sweat drops of blood, because Jesus is in the Garden of the Olive Press, feeling the weight of his earthly mission upon him. And so Thaddeus, who is also Labius, who is also Jude, who is also Judas, asks this question in John 14, 22. Judas, John's like, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it you are going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" So we see the humility of this young man, a disciple who was called what? His name means close to the heart of Jesus. His only utterance in the Bible, he's not speaking with brashness or with bold confidence or self-intention. Rather, his question is full of gentleness and meekness. The only time this disciple whose name means close to the heart speaks, he speaks with meekness in Scripture. Which is an example for all of us, is it not? The Bible says about God himself, he is gentle and lowly in heart. The only time the Bible says anything about the heart of God is that. Thaddeus, who is close to the heart of Jesus, is modeling to us what a man and woman that is close to the heart looks like. I was reading a story this week about a university, a Christian university in Indiana called Taylor's University. And before it was commonplace for international students to often come and live abroad and study in the United States, there was a particularly bright young man from Africa named Sam who had earned excellent marks in school, and he was going to Taylor's University. So exceptional was this young man that the president himself showed him around the institution. And after the tour, the president asked this young potential student, "Sam, so where do you want to live after everything that you have seen?" And here's the young man's response. He said, "If there is a room that no one wants, give that room to me." And the president recounts that he had to turn away with tears in his eyes. He says this. He said, "Over the many years, we have welcomed thousands of Christian men and women to this campus, and not one has made a request like this." Church, to be near the heart of Jesus Christ is to have a heart of gentleness and meekness. It's to have the heart of Thaddeus or to have the heart of Sam, that where we say to the Lord, Father, if there is a job that no one wants to do, give that job to me. If there's a room that no one wants, that's okay. I'll take it. If there's a hardship that someone has to endure, Father, I'll take the hardship. And if there's a sacrifice that someone needs to make, I will make that sacrifice. May God give us a meek heart, a gentle and lowly heart like Thaddeus. May we be willing to have a meek and gentle spirit. Lord, if no one else wants it, give it to me because you are worth it. Judas, Thaddeus, continues and says to him, Lord, how is it? How is it that you are going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? So why would Thaddeus ask this question? Well, because I believe that Thaddeus believes there must be a better or an easier way for God to receive glory. So the question is, verse 22, is, Lord, how? How is it that you will reveal yourself? Now, if the disciples could paint a picture of the revelation of God, they would paint something like this: fire, brimstone, lightning bolts, white horse, heaven opening up like a scroll. God should send his son to reveal his son in a way that no one could miss the point. God, reveal yourself in a way with apocalyptic splendor that you would be undeniably manifest to all who would see. And then, thought the disciples, Lord, if you come with a lightning bolt and thunder, then no one could refuse you. Surely, church, surely Yahweh would not send his only son into the world to be born in obscurity in Bethlehem, right? Surely the sovereign God would not let his son grow up in Nazareth, a village where nothing good is found. Surely the Lord would not let his only begotten minister in Galilee when the seat of religion of the time was in Jerusalem. Surely God would not manifest his glory by letting his son die on a cross. Surely God would not fully show his sovereignty by letting his son rise again and then revealing his glory to a band of 12 disciples who would then use the church as a primary megaphone to the world. Surely not. And if you've ever wondered the same, you're asking the question of Thaddeus, saying, Jesus, there has to be a bigger way, a better way. Surely, God, you would not display your glory in this manner. And unbeknownst to him, Thaddeus was articulating what the critics of the cross and the resurrection would say after Jesus died. Think about what the critics are saying on the cross. If he really is the Son of Man, let him save himself. If he is who he says he is, may we see his glory. God, there has to be a better way. And in God's holy plan, church, the gospel was God's plan A of inviting you to eternal life. That Jesus would come and be born of a virgin, live a sinless life. Jesus, who was equal with God, did not consider equality something to be exploited. But he made himself of no reputation. Taking the form of a servant, being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And Jesus did all of that. Why? So that you might be saved. So that sinners, Matthew, right? The scoffer said, who is this Jesus who eats with tax collectors and sinners? And Matthew said, I don't know who he is, but I believe he can save me. Remember what we said about Matthew? He didn't know any better. All he knew was Jesus. God sent his son to manifest himself upon a cross that you might be forgiven. God, is this how it has to go? And Jesus says, Thaddeus, yes. This is how. The gospel is the Lord's invitation for you to know him and enjoy him forever. But Thaddeus' question has another element. It's spoken with meekness and gentleness. Inquisitive, how are you going to reveal yourself? And then he says, how are you going to reveal yourself to who? To us. Is that, if Thaddeus is saying, Lord, you see us, right? Like, to us? Like, there are, Jesus, if this is a dodgeball tournament, like, there are better people you could choose. Jesus chose the 12 to reveal himself and his glory. Not only did Thaddeus think that there was a better way for God to reveal his glory to the world, Thaddeus couldn't believe that Jesus was revealing himself to the disciples primarily. And have you ever thought that? Have you ever read the Word of God, and have you ever contemplated the good news of Jesus in your life thinking, God, is this true to me? God, I know what you say. I know you saved me. But Lord, do you know who I am? And Thaddeus is asking the same question. A famous quote attributed to Gandhi. There's no record of him actually saying this, but it's attributed to him. Gandhi is asking the same question in a negative sense. Gandhi often said about him, says, I love your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Gandhi's saying, Lord Jesus, to them, you displayed your glory to these people. Friends, never miss this point, that to the church, the redeemed community is the Father's plan A for working in the world. So look around. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have been forgiven of your sins, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and adopted into this new, beautiful spiritual family, you are God's plan A to do work in the world. Now, you might be looking around thinking, no, he's not talking to me. Thaddeus, we're talking to you. God is using you for his glory and your good. God has purposed to use his church to demonstrate his glory to the ends of the earth. Which means that if you have given your life to Christ, you are someone's missionary. You don't need to be praying, Lord, I can't wait to introduce Pastor Josh to my friend that they can share Jesus with my friend. Because I'm not praying that about you. This is what we should be praying. Lord, you have put me in Joe's life because Joe needs Jesus. And Lord, you know my faults, but you've forgiven my sins, and you have put me in Joe's life to be his missionary. Because God, your redeemed people are your plan A to speak and share your light to the world. Lord, are you going to reveal yourself to us? Church, yes. Jesus has revealed himself to you by his word. And as if we can't get past that, then Thaddeus follows it up. He says, Lord, and not to the world? You see, why must the world be excluded? Would not the world, thinks Thaddeus, like the disciples, after they see Jesus rise from the dead, be much more willing to believe and follow Jesus Christ? And that's sometimes the argument. Some people would say, and maybe we believe, that if I were there at the cross, if I were there at the grave, if I saw Jesus rise from the dead, then I would have no reason to not believe. I could not help myself but believe. You see, Thaddeus' question is near the heart of the Lord. Because God desires no man to perish, the Bible says, but that all will be saved. But church, not all will be saved. Because there were people who knew about the resurrection. And they began to spread rumors around town. They said, okay, we know that Jesus rose from the dead, but tell people that his disciples came and stole his body. Which means it is possible to have every intellectual question answered about the resurrection and still not believe. Which is why the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe not with your cerebral cortex, but you believe where? With your heart, you will be saved. It doesn't mean that you check your mind at the door, but it means that your heart has to be his, because Thaddeus is the disciple who is close to the heart of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said it would be this way. Mark 12, remember the story that there's a vineyard and there's a vineyard owner. And so the vineyard owner is time to collect the grapes, and he sends a servant and they chastise him, and he sends a second servant and they beat him up. They don't kill him, but they beat him up. And the vineyard owner says this, and Jesus is sharing his parable. The vineyard owner says, okay, I know what I can do. I have a beloved son. And if I send that son to this vineyard, then the servants will know my love and they will embrace me as Lord of their life, and they will accept me. But that's not what happened. Mark 12 says, those tenants said to one another, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And I believe that Thaddeus is lamenting, thinking that there would be people who would hear about the love of Jesus, that God would reveal his glory to some, and that some, many in fact, would not accept the love of God through his only son, Jesus. J.C. Ryle said it this way, no sin makes less noise, but none so surely damns the soul as unbelief. Thaddeus, yes, many will live and die in unbelief, even in the face of God's sacrificial love. And if that's you today, if you are the one who does not believe, God has brought you to this place and to this time to hear that Jesus took your place. You don't have to stay in unbelief. That's why you're here. God is inviting you again to know him and receive his love through his son, Jesus. So Thaddeus means what? Close to the heart. So look at how Jesus responds to the man whose name is close to the heart in verse 23. Jesus answers this loaded question. And he says, Thaddeus, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and he will come to me, and we will make our home with him. The one who does not love me and does not keep my words, the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these words to you while I remain, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have told you. So Jesus speaks to the one who is near his heart about the love of the Father. Ultimately, Jesus says to Thaddeus, Thaddeus, if you love me, you are loved by the Father. And if you love me, then you will keep my words. How can you know that Jesus loves you? I believe Jesus was telling Thaddeus this. Thaddeus, you might not understand it now, but look to the cross. Look to the cross of Jesus Christ, and you will be certain that the full measure of God's love is poured out for you. The Father loves the one who loves Jesus. Can you know that God the Father loves you? Yes. How do you know that God the Father can love you? Because you love Jesus Christ. And how do you know that you love Jesus Christ? because you walk according to his ways. And the one who is loved by Jesus has the Holy Spirit. The counselor is a constant reminder in your life of God's eternal love. So to all who love Christ and have followed him by faith, you are loved by God, and you may count on his continued presence and his abiding Spirit in you. To love Jesus is to be near the heart of God. Let me say it in apostolic language. To love Jesus is to be a Thaddeus. To be near the heart of the Messiah, and the one who loves Jesus will keep his word. So maybe you ask today, well, how I want to be near the heart of Jesus. How, Pastor? How can I do that? I'm going to tell you a story and then give you the answer. The Golden Gate Bridge has a full-time crew that all they do is paint the bridge. Depends on labor shortages, it's roughly around 30-ish people. And they don't paint the bridge systematically from beginning to end. They will paint the pilings and the necessary parts. But the bridge is in such need of repair that the bridge is actually never finished painting. So if they were to finish painting the bridge, by the time they get to the end, guess what? They start again. In essence, you could say this: to protect the integrity of the bridge, they are constantly painting and coating the bridge with sealants. And in the same way, to be close to the heart of God is to have a heart that is painted by his word daily. Church, you never end. Because when you've painted one part of your life with the word of God and the Holy Spirit seals that, guess what? There's another part that needs to be painted. And another, and another. To be near the heart of Jesus is to walk according to his ways. And it's the corrosion of the world. It's the corrosion of the flesh that can threaten the infrastructure of our spiritual foundations. It's the lust of the eyes. It's the lust of the world that can constantly erode at God's righteousness in your life. Let me say it this way. Church, you have not arrived yet. None of us are, until God brings us home in glory, can rest. But to be near the heart of God is to say again today, Lord, paint me, cleanse me, wash me, seal me. And Father, when you do that, do it again. And Lord, when you do that, do it again. Lord, I cannot get enough of your word. I cannot give enough of your ways. And I cannot get enough of your Spirit. Lord, are you going to reveal yourself to us? Thaddeus, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And when you do, the Father will love him, and we will make our home with him. I can think nothing better than to be loved by God and for God to make his home within me. And in Jesus, that is exactly what happens. If you've never given your life to Christ, and today you for the first time realize you want to be near the heart of God, well, the Bible's very clear. To be loved by the Father means you have to love who? You have to love Jesus. And you can give your life to Jesus in this way, by praying a prayer of faith from the heart. And your prayer might not sound exactly like this, but the biblical idea of confession and faith sounds like this. Father, I know that I have sinned. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose again. And Father, I believe you will reveal yourself to me if I follow you and turn from myself. So Father, today for the first time, I will follow you no matter what it costs. And Lord, I believe the one who loves your son will be loved by you. And the one who is loved by you, you will come into his life. Father, we thank you.